Ladies and gentlemen, from the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City, Robin Williams.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Howdy. Oh, wrong opera house. How you like the play, Mr. Lincoln? Duck.
That's all right.
It's the type of place for Robin Leach to go, "Welcome to Adnan Khashoggi's living room." Yes, this man makes more money than you could ever goddamn dream of. I'm Robin Leach with a voice so loud, even animals go, "Who the fuck are you?" Thank you.
God damn. This is an incredible place. Look at this and these sets. I wonder if Pavarotti's at the improv going, "Two Jews walk into a bar." Yes. Hello. Placido Domingo and Music Man. I say the Wells Fargo wagon, it's a coming down. Ghost for la- Easy, don't heckle at the opera, pal. Please, Mr. Pavarotti is backstage going, "Who the hell was that bastard?" This is one man who comes to the opera going, "Hey, yo, Placido, my man. Yo, sing that thing, baby. Knock it out, baby." Yes.
Dang. And they also have ballets here. Ballets, men wearing pants so tight you can tell what religion they are. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Goddamn. Oscar Levant said that ballet is the fairy's football. I say, yeah. If that's true, maybe you should have Tom Landry working with the ballet going, "All right, Baryshnikov, come over here. Everybody huckle up. I want you to take Giselle out, lift her, throw her down 5 yards. Everybody else? You know, the ballet's not over till a swan takes it in the ass. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, come on. Maybe you get a ballet choreographer working with a football team. All right, everybody, line up, everyone, line up. Oh, my God, a smorgasbord. Look at this.
All right, who's the tight end? Fabulous. You stay right there. I love you. Okay. All right, what I want you to do, a simple pattern, everybody. Run long, do this, attempt to catch the ball. Everyone else pile on him for as long as possible. Referees, throw the flags, throw the flags, throw the flags. I love it, I love it.
Thank you for coming. This is a very interesting evening. I used to go to Juilliard. For 3 years, I went to Juilliard, which was a wonderful school, basically. It was nice to go over there. There was always the Balanchine dancers, exquisite creatures like goddesses. You'd go, "Excuse me, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen."
"Oh, fuck off. Get out of my face." Okay.
"Sorry, I meant you no harm." Damn. A little sip of Perrier here. I had to stop drinking alcohol because I used to wake up nude and hood in my car with my keys in my ass. Not a good thing.
Hi, can I help you?
"No, thanks. It's just flooded. I'll be okay." "Beautiful, baby. Beautiful, yeah."
"Don't you see? You're sucked into believing that beer is a healthy thing. Because all the time you've got these beer commercials showing manly men doing manly things. You've just killed a small animal. It's time for a light beer." Why not have a realistic beer commercial? What's the realistic thing about beer where you go, "It's 5 o'clock in the morning. You've just pissed on a dumpster. It's Miller time." It's a scary thing because you realize the first purpose of alcohol is to make English your second goddamn language. Eventually, you may be quite fluent. You may be a Nobel Prize physicist. You have a couple of beers on a nice hot day like today. You're wandering around going, "California." You're speaking fluent drunkenese, bravo. Next thing you know, you get a couple more beers, you've got a friend in a headlock going, "I love you, little fucker, I love you. That's the kind of love I have for you, baby, goddammit." And you work your way up from beer. You get from beer, you go to wine. And I know the elegant people who are drinking wine right now in Montauk going, "Damn it, where are the unborn pears? I don't know." No, I'm talking to elegant people who drink wine and go, "I don't know whether to have the red wine or the white wine with the chicken or fish." What's the matter, asshole? They're dead.
The chicken's not going to reach up from the plate and go, have the red wine. No. It's wine, baby, and I'm not talking regular wine like Puy Fousse or Pussy Fussy. Uh-uh. I'm talking a fine white wine like Mad Dog 2020. You drink a bottle of that and all of a sudden you're seeing vapor trails. And he works his way up to cocktails. Then you realize the second purpose of alcohol is to make your brain a goddamn Etch-a-Sketch. You have a couple of cocktails, you can go, you can start over. That's the beauty. See? Basically, when you realize, Mai Tai, Polynesian word for dumb fuck, yes. Rum drinks, mixed rum drinks. Man, the English Navy, they used to give you a couple of rum drinks. You'd wake up on an English ship going, ew, you're in the Navy, boy. Ah. Did you enjoy your rum drink, smartass? Aye, because you've gone beyond that, don't you see there, son? Then you realize the third purpose of alcohol is to bring out the asshole in everybody. Because you could be the sweetest person in the world, a couple of shots of Jack Daniels, you go, hey, fuck you! Get the fuck out of my face! I'm sorry, Father Bob, you've had enough. And women, you know why men buy you all those Long Island iced teas? They want to get to know you as a person. Liar. They want your mind to take a hike, so they go, you find me repulsive. Because men, once they drink, they don't care anymore. They can walk up to you and go, hi, what's your name, darling? What's your name, beautiful? What's your name, gorgeous? Huh? Fuck off. Really, are you Russian? Fabulous. Fabulous. That's the beautiful thing. Oh, I get it. You want me? Oh, I miss uptight bitch. Oh, I get it. Oh, you're probably a lesbian. Oh, excuse me. I can't say that word anymore. Woman in comfortable shoes. Forgive me. Then you've gone too far. You've gone too far. And you must pay your dues. This is why I had to give up alcohol. Because you have to pay the next day. Pray, dear Lord, please don't hurt me now. There you are lying in bed. And you feel like the scene from the movie The Fly going, help me. Help me. The entire room is spinning like a roulette wheel. Place your bets. Place your bets. And there's the old toilet in the corner going, talk to me. Then you realize you're an alcoholic when you repeat yourself. You realize you're an alcoholic when you repeat yourself. You realize you're an alcoholic. Oh, damn it, God damn it. And then you have those nights where you don't remember what you goddamn did the night before. Where you get that phone call like, yes? Really? I took a dump in your tuba? Oh, my God, he said sit in with the band. I'm sorry. Oh, God, it's over. Oh, don't you see? It's all over, God damn it. And then the next thing you know, there you are at Betty Ford Hospital going, I'm fine now. I'm a reformed alcoholic. I feel so much better about myself. I am fine. No, you have that double vodka. I'll be over in the corner kicking the cat. I realized when I became a reformed alcoholic, I said, hey, I'm the same asshole. I just have fewer dents in my car. Oh, God damn it. What is it? What is it about that? And then the people who smoke marijuana looking at you like, girl, man, alcohol's a crutch. Really, Captain Herbalife? You just macrame'd your ass into the sofa and you're telling me that? A little bit of hypocrisy there. It's kind of like Idi Amin looking at Gandhi going, you're too intense. No. These are people who are so stoned they can eat kitty litter and go, that's real crunchy. These same people get their animals stoned. This is not a good idea. Do not get your dog stoned. He's not that high up on the food chain to begin with. He just barely learned to lick his own genitals. Leave him alone. You know, don't do that to him. You've done it now. You've gone too far. This is bad. This is a scary thing. The basic purpose of marijuana is to prove that Darwin was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Send you back down. And these people get stoned and they think, well, I've got to eat something. It's either my own hand or I'm getting out of here, man. So they try and drive. They've got this idea that, yeah, I can drive. I've got it together, dude. I'm okay. If I could just find my feet, I can drive. Then they get out. They're in the car. There they are. You're too. Oh, the keys. Okay. We're out. Okay. And I'm hauling down the freeway. There they're going. They're moving fast. There they think they're going at light speed. They think Scotty's sitting next to them going, Jim, you can't push it any faster. It's a Chevrolet, Jim. You can't drive it any faster than that. Oh, no, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm okay. Red, white, and blue, red, white, and blue, red. Police, 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 Jesus, help me through this. You're inside rehearsing what you're going to say. It's like, I'm fine. What seems to be the problem, officer? What seems to be the problem, officer? What seems to be the problem? You open the window, whew, out comes this little Colombian sauna. This wall of smoke hits him in the face. He's going, I'm hungry, I don't know why. You've rehearsed your line. What seems to be the problem, officer? What seems to be the problem? You look at him and go, he writes out a ticket. He hands it to you. You eat it. No. Oh, you're going to jail. But then you wake up and you realize you're still on the couch at home. Hell, baby, no. But of course, there are people even beyond marijuana. The people in the bathroom right now are a little late for the show. These seats going, the show started. Well, see, those are the people who are on the Peruvian marching powder. Yeah. They're sitting up there going, no one can know we're up here, man. Yes, the Colombian dancing dust. We're talking about cocaine. Mmm, what a wonderful drug. Anything that makes you paranoid and impotent, mmm, give me more of that. Isn't it nice? They can do a drug that'll make you talk to people you normally wouldn't talk to and talk about silly things that you never even say in daylight. Oh, yeah. What a great drug. And there's a wonderful thing called free basing. It's not free. It costs you your house. It should be called home basing. You should just say, ah! So look, sheeper, you want to get really high? Take all of your assets, put it on the floor, set it on fire and go, ah! I just snorted my stocks, man. Inflation. Whoa, I'm loaded now. Here are some little telltale warning signs if you have a cocaine problem. First of all, if you come home to your house, you have no furniture, and your cat's going, I'm out of here, prick. Warning. Number two, if you have this dream where you're doing cocaine in your sleep and you can't fall asleep and you're doing cocaine in your sleep and you can't fall asleep and you wake up and you're doing cocaine, bingo. Number three, if on your tax form it says $50,000 for snacks, mayday. You're out of there, baby. You're out of there. And everybody's doing cocaine now. Baseball players having to go in front of grand juries going, yeah, I did cocaine. Can you blame me, though? It's a slow goddamn game. Come on, Jack. I'm standing out in left field for 7 innings. There's a long white line going all the way down to home plate. What is that about? Goddamn. I see the guy putting it out going, and that damn music, that dit 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 dit. Third base coach is doing this shit all the time. I don't know whether to slide or do a line, you know what I'm saying? People sliding into home head first. Yeah! You're out! Doesn't matter, baby, I'm up now. Yeah. You want to make the game interesting? I tell you this, you give a little LSD to an umpire, you'll have some fun. You'll be sitting at home plate going, don't steal home, share it. Yay. Now, there must be some sports where they don't do cocaine. I mean, you can't think of golfers coked out of their ass in the first tee going, 4, 5, get it out of here. Sitting around that little slow cart going, eh. Oh, God, I'm running. And the commentator, he seems to be having problems on the fourth. Why are you talking so low, man? Why are you talking so goddamn low, man? Why are these 300 people walking behind me so goddamn slow? Look in the hole. There might be a snake. Look in the hole. Oh. Golf is one of the few sports where a white man could dress like a black pimp and not look bad. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice thing. It's an incredible thing. You don't need cocaine. There's another way to get real high and really mess your mind up. It's called marathon running. It's the same thing. You ever see a marathon runner? They got the same look, like... How you doing? I just ran 26 miles. How do you feel? I'm alive. I'm covered in my own shit, but I'm alive. It's really a cheap high because all it cost you was a pair of goddamn shoes, baby. And you never see a guy hanging out by a track going, psst, my man, you need a pair of Nikes? Try one shoe on. Do this for a while. Mess you up. Yeah, baby. It's the simplest thing to think about cocaine is the end of the documentary where they asked a Peruvian Indian chief. They said, chief, what's cocaine? He looked right in the camera and said, cocaine is our little gift to the white man for what you did to us. You take our land, we give you a monkey for your back. Look. Jesus. Gotta be careful, baby, because they can nail you anytime, anywhere. You get stopped in L.A. L.A. police a little more intense. Basically, they've had 15 cups of coffee, 15 donuts. Stop or I'll shoot. You get stopped in West Hollywood. Stop. Those shoes don't go with those pants. Fashion police, move it. Look at the thing. But of course, the best police in all the world, you know what I'm talking about, below that little Manson-Nixon line. Yeah. You get down there, boy, you got yourself some good old boys. The ones that wear the mirrored sunglasses with the mirror on the inside. Yeah. Hey. You get stopped down there, they pull you over and go, BMW. You Jewish? Yep. You're off and running now, baby, don't you see? You think, oh, God, I'm going to get nailed now. They usually come up to you and go, we got a dog over here smells drugs. Bullshit, they got a dog so old, hasn't even smelled his own asshole in 15 years. But you still have this horrible fear you're going to end up in a cell with a man named Bubba going, you my little puppy now. Isn't it strange to think that in Georgia, if you commit sodomy, they're going to put you in a cell with another man who's going to sodomize you? Southern logic. God damn. The whole country's intense. You want to know why the police are intense? Because we're intense. We're armed and they're armed. Yay. It's in the Constitution. It says you have the right to bear arms or the right to arm bears, whatever the hell you want to do. National Rifle Association says you have the right to have armor-piercing bullets if you're a hunter. Why? How many deer wear a bulletproof vest? Is there one big deer out there going, I'm ready for your ass? Come on, give it your best shot. Let's party. We're all armed. Here in New York, at least you don't get a lot of handguns. In California, everybody's got handguns. Even ladies, we're just carrying 22s. This makes a small hole. I got tired of carrying my mace because I used to mix it up with my breath freshener and go, oh, there goes the day. Now, in England, if you commit a crime, the police don't have a gun and you don't have a gun. So if you commit a crime, stop. Or I'll say stop again. But here, everybody knows we are armed and it's escalating. Pretty soon it's going to be, I built this cruise missile to stop those damn kids from playing ZZ Top. You know what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, it's road warrior on the freeways. People with twin 50 caliber machine guns mounted in the front of their Chevrolet going, look, Helen, a slow Chinese driver. You think you've got him, but he's in front of you going, no, you don't, you wonton asshole. Flamethrower in the trunk. And one little old lady with a grenade launcher and a Volkswagen bus going, make my day. And the top of the heap, there's Ronald Reagan with that look in his eyes like they're going to put swinging doors in Congress. He's going to come through next time like, I'm back and I'm pissed off. Don't you see he's got that look? Here's a man in the presidential debate that referred to defense spending and uniforms as costumes. No, no, no. So in other words, a war to him is the big film. Here's a man who said, what would this country be without this great land of ours? What? Wait a minute. Excuse me, Mr. Reagan. Sir, excuse me, sir. In the dictionary under redundant, it says see redundant.
Well, you could say that again.
Don't you see that look in his eyes? He's not dealing with the real world anymore. Don't you see? He's got that look like everything is a movie. He's talking to Congress. They're talking about Central America. But it's not Congress anymore. It's the old actor's home to him. All of a sudden, Tip O'Neill's up there, but Tip's face starts to melt. And all of a sudden, he becomes the Duke, going, well, forget these piss ants. Let's get out of Nicaragua, kick some ass, come on. And you can see Ron get that look in his eyes like, well, I'll get the ponies, we'll saddle them up. Come on, we've got him ready right now. And then there's Caspar Weinberger, the world's whitest human being, standing behind him, looking a lot like Bela Lugosi. see. He stands there. We can't do it during the day. He's gone. Then there's Schultz and Bush, kind of like Stan and Ollie. Now you've done it. We've overbalanced the budget. There you go. Don't you see? And all of a sudden, Teddy Kennedy stands up, but it's not Teddy Kennedy anymore, Ron. All of a sudden, he turns into Mr. Deeds. It's Jimmy Stark going, God damn it, Mr. President. You can't do this without the will of the people. Ron gets scared. He gets that look in his eyes. The eyebrows start spinning around. He starts thinking about Star Wars, goes back to his room, puts on a black robe, and suddenly, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Standing there, Nancy has two Danishes strapped to her head going, help me, Obi-Wan. Help me, Obi-Wan. There's Henry Kissinger as Yoda.
Must now, cannot see, understanding that I be here for you. I will show you now, Nicaragua, Cambodia. Shh, must later understand.
No. Don't you see when you look at Reagan? He was Disney's last wish. Don't you see that? Just before Disney died, he went, make a president. And all the cartoon characters went, yeah, you heard what he said. Come on, everybody. Goofy, you'll be Secretary of the Interior.
Oh, uh-huh.
Come on. He's got that look. There it is. The way he moves. It's strange, though. Don't you see the way he moves? It's like the Lincoln exhibit at Disneyland. Don't you see? When he gets up, it's like, I just want you to know that I'll be right with the question from You expect to see Jim Henson behind a curtain going, you moved him too far! Move his arms! I want you to know the budget's balanced now. Won't you see one day he's going to break down in the middle of a press conference? It'll be, well, I... You have to go now. Mr. President, we have to go. Well, we'll be right back, everybody. No. Basically, it's summit time again. A summit. A summit is a strange thing where they talk about nuclear arms. They're talking about partial nuclear disarmament. This is also like talking about partial circumcision. A strange thing. You either go all the way or fucking forget it. You know what I'm saying? And they go to Geneva where you sit down, eat a few chocolates, buy a few watches, and they, hey, fuck it, we can't do anything. I'm out of here. Okay. No, man, you on the summit, meaning you go to Jimmy's clam bar down in the village and you say, sit the fuck down. You get over there, you sit down with a couple of guys with a middle name V, you know, like Johnny the Fish, Jimmy the Squirrel, you come over here, you know. Hey, Mr. Reagan, let me get you some clams, okay? Ron, Gorbachev, what is this? A map of Albania? Wipe that shit off. Okay, come over here. Over here. Two of you, sit down. What are you doing over here? Come here, what is it? What is your hair from? Big boy? Come over here, sit down. Let me get you. Gorbachev, you want some red wine? Let me guess. Yeah, you're there. Come over here. Two of you, you work this shit out or you wake up in the trunk of a car, you know what I'm saying? We gotta divide it up. Gorbachev, you start off. Reagan, you listen and stop doing this shit. Okay, Gorbachev, you start off.
Okay. All I want is maybe a little bit of Western Europe. Nude 3D picture Brooke Shields. Because the eyebrows remind me of Brezhnev, okay? Reagan?
Well, I... What the fuck are you, a Muppet? No, I think I should show you who I really am.
It's me. I'm back again. I told you I'd be back. It's Halloween Part 5. Jason's back and he's pissed off. I've got the tapes now and no one's fucking with me again.
And Richard Nixon on the cover of Newsweek is like John Hinckley on the cover of Guns and Ammo. Not a good idea.
He's back. Whoa.
And it won't even be them that blows the tits off the world, no. In the Middle East, there's old Muammar Gaddafi, or his friends call him Mo. Hey, Mo!
Hey, I find him, he's a lush. Hey, you numbskull.
No. When you look at Gaddafi, doesn't he look like a cross between Omar Sharif and Charles Manson? Kind of that little strange thing. He's got the handsome face, but the eyes are going helter-skelter. Helter-skelter. They call him Colonel Gaddafi. Sounds like he should have a chain of terrorist chicken stores. Come on down to Colonel Gaddafi's bomb in a bucket. Come on down. Bring the kids. Get a grenade. Come on down. Here's a man who had the audacity to go, it's a line of death. You cross it, you die. Okay? You cross this line, you die. Okay? You cross this line, you die. This line, you die.
Okay, you knock on my door. I'm not coming out.
What? What is this? The only people flying to the Middle East right now are terrorists. Will you be sitting in armed or unarmed? In case of a cabin seizure, a small gun will fall from the ceiling, run to the front and claim it in the name of Allah.
No.
The whole Middle East is like an old Marx Brothers routine. It's like Gaddafi, God bless you, Assad, nobody, Hussein, nobody, you're out of here.
Prime Minister Botha, why courtesy phone? Prime Minister Botha, why courtesy phone?
Strange thing. South Africa's getting to the point where even Lester Maddox is going to have to go over there and go, excuse me, Mr. Botha, can I talk to you for a moment? Mr. Botha? Mr. Botha, can I explain something to your ass? Let me show you the odds here, Sparky. There's 14 million black people. There's 3 million white people. Now, does the name Custer mean anything to you? Space thoughts. Tom Waits once said that there's no devil. It's just God when he drinks. You know what I'm saying? You ever think then, if God drinks, then he might get stoned? Look at a platypus. I think you think he might. You think there's God going, okay.
Let's take a beaver.
Okay.
Okay. Put on a duck's bill. Hey, I'm God. What are you going to do? Hey, hey. Okay. He's a mammal, but he lays eggs. Hey, Darwin.
Yeah.
There you go. Because nature does that. Nature has no rules. It has no rules at all. Every time you think there's a rule for nature, it goes, no, no, I'm out of here. If we take the planet out, if we blow this earth to death, we're gone. Nothing. Nature will go, I'm back. That's what spring is. Every spring, every animal has that look in their eyes like, yeah. Flowers like Barry White going, oh, baby, give me your hairy stamen now. That's why your dog looks at you like, listen, man, you got a choice. Okay? I can either hump your leg or leave the house. It's up to you. Your choice. Basically, it's that urge. It's springtime. It's nature crying out, let's party! It's time to go wild and do the dance of love. Men, you know you have a tiny creature living between your legs that has no memory and no conscience. You know that. You know you have no control. No control at all. Women know this. When you look at it, you can see the look in their eyes like, oh, it's a ridiculous piece of flesh. My God looks like a snail wearing a helmet. What is it? Or if you're uncircumcised, look like a snake wearing a sweater. You know that. It's ridiculous. But the moment he starts to rise, yeah. It's a different case to get that look in their eyes like, alien. Yeah. There is no control over this tiny beast. You wake up in the morning, he's been up 5 minutes before you, like, how you doing? No conscious control. He's there. Yaha. Morning. Time for jumping jack. Whoever you live with is going, who are you thinking about? He looks at him with that one good eye and nobody, I'm on my own. Let's play horseshoes. Get a towel. Put a hat on me. Let's take a chance. And you may be playing sports. Maybe with other men. You've just done manly things. You played a good game of football. You've just turned your friend's face into goo. You're in the locker room. You're soaping up going, good game, everybody. All of a sudden, he rises up and goes, hey, good game, everybody. All your friends are going, yeah, real good game, Bob. You have no control. It should be a separate creature. You should be able to take it off, boom, put him on the ground. Take him for a walk. He's got the rollers. He'd be like, yeah, 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 yeah. Make it a different beast. That way, you'd have some control. Why are we driven by this desire? We have lust. Lust permeates our soul sometimes. Men, we are so driven by this lust that we have a violent streak that comes along with it. If we can't fuck it, we'll kill it. You know what I'm saying? A nuclear bomb is a man's way of saying, I'm going to fuck up the earth. Yeah! A woman would never make a nuclear bomb. They would never make a weapon that kills you. No, no. They make a weapon that makes you feel bad for a while. Yes. Yes. That's why there should be a woman president. There would never be any wars. Never, never. You know this. It's the truth. There would never be a war. Just every 28 days, some severe negotiations. You know that. Yes. The truth is, you know it is. Because you have that release every 28 days, your friend comes to town. Yes. It's not a friend. No, no.
How many friends want to make you stand on top of the roof with an automatic weapon going, get in the house! Get in the fucking house!
What balances out that? There's your heart. There's romance. There's your heart going, what about poetry? What about love? What about flowers?
And he's down there going, whatever works, baby, whatever works. Yes, you know what I'm saying.
Wouldn't it be nice? He is your friend. Wouldn't it be nice you can go into a bar sometimes, buy him a drink? Yeah. There'd be a bar up here for you, a little bar down here for him. Go in there, put him on the bar, buy him a lowball. You know what I'm saying?
He's down there, he's looking up at you like, how you been, babe? Sorry about last night. I guess I got nervous, fired off a warning shot. What the hell? But if you weren't strangling me so much, I'd have a better chance. God damn it, pal, listen to me. I'm sorry about all this stuff, but I ain't going back in there without some protection. You know what I'm saying? There's some damn strange stuff in there, pal. Hell no, I won't go. Hell no, I won't go. What? Wait a minute. Forget what I said. Who the hell's that? I'm going down here and I'll wait for a while. You get her. Try where you're from. I'll go in for ramming speed.
Don't you see? Be the only true character witness you could ever have at a divorce trial. Your Honor, I'd like to bring out a character witness right now. I think he has a lot of bearing on the case. Most raise your right hand, tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
I never right hand, but I'll give it a shot.
Mr. Fallis. On the night of the 15th, what do you remember?
Well, it was light, it was dark, it was light, it was dark, it was light, it was dark.
And we are driven once again to find Miss Wright, or at least Miss Wright now. That special moment to make love. And while you're making love, you feel like a god. And the moment you have an orgasm, you look like goddamn Goofy. Once again, it's nature going, I don't care. Because you're going, yes, 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 yes. You, whoa, whoa. Oh, whoa, whoa. Is this fun or what? Laughter and orgasms are the same thing. It's an incredible release. Basically, it's your mind going, who the fuck cares? Men can't fake an orgasm. Who wants to look that goddamn dumb? Basically, you're there. And once you have an orgasm, you're vulnerable. Your ego is gone. You're there as a vulnerable human being. And then... At that point, the woman's usually going, I'm ready, Harry. It's time.
The little vampire is dead for the day.
You're gone. Yes, you're gone. And yet, you must now go on with the relationship. You fall in love. You live together. You build a relationship. And eventually the passion kind of diminishes to the point where eventually you're making love like,
do you realize the garage is open?
Things have changed. No. You can't do it. And you go for therapy. You try and go for sexual therapy. And that's why you go to someone like Dr. Ruth Westheimer. This is a good thing. A little tiny Jewish lady who talks about oral sex, and you know she doesn't even eat pork. Warning. This is a good sign. I'm saying if you want sexual help, you don't want a little tiny Jewish lady. You want a large black lady named Dr. Ruth. Yeah. She'll help your ass then, because she'll be goddamn honest with you. You call in and say, Dr. Ruth, I have a small penis. Does that make a difference? She'll go, damn straight, baby. Mm-mm. Honey, you can't make butter with a toothpick. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. Work with it, baby. Mm-mm. Don't be coming at me with that tiny puppet going, brace yourself. Dress it up, get some Ken and Barbie clothes, put on a show, like, make it something special, baby. Don't just do that, because most men's idea of foreplay is, ooh, here I come, uh-uh. Why do they say you're coming? You ain't going nowhere, you're in the same place, you know what I'm saying? And men, learn some foreplay, you know what I'm saying? Learn how to deal with women. Most men grab your titties like they're making bread, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I say you want to make cookies, get your ass in the kitchen. You want to make love, stay here right now. Like they're always trying to push your breasts together, make one good one, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, the hell is that about? Mm-mm. And sometimes they grab your nipples like, ah. I say, does that get you hot? Well, I'm on fire now, Chief Smoke, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mr. Vice Grip, Mr. Pliers, oh, yeah. I'm cooking now, baby, oh, yeah. The hell? What, and then they start doing that, start twisting your nipples. What's that supposed to do? Are you dialing a radio? The hell is this? The radio for Europe? Uh-uh, baby. Mm. Next time a man grabs you like that, you grab his testicles and go, is this a slinky? Get his ass. You'll know what to do then, baby.
I guarantee you'll have his attention then. You squeeze those, his eyes come out. You've got your own little play puppet there. Squeeze him, yo. One squeeze for the condo, two for the Porsche. You know what I'm saying? You got his attention then, baby. You know what I'm saying. Men, learn yourself some oral sex. You know what I'm saying? I know most men. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Testify. Because most men go, hey, I'm out of there. Uh-uh, baby. I say, bring a lunch. Stay for the day. Have yourself a time. Women know what I'm saying. And men, if you can't look at it, bring a Mr. Potato Head. Dress it up like somebody else, you know? Sigmund Freud, your Uncle Murray, anybody. Have some fun there, baby, because that's what it's about. And use some birth control. Because, ladies, those sperm come out of there at 500 miles an hour. And a little piece of rubber is not going to stop it. It's like putting gauze in front of a semi and go, come on through. Use a diaphragm. Because, you see, a diaphragm is basically just a trampoline for sperm. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't necessarily stop them, just amuses their ass for a while. Yeah, hip, hey, hip, 8.1, 8.2, you know, messes them up. And men, if the lady's not going to wear a diaphragm, you better goddamn wear a prophylactic. You know what I'm saying? A prophylactic is necessary. And most men are going, I'm not making my penis look like a tiny bank robber. Or if you wear the ones with a reservoir tip, looks like a little Krishna, like Hare Krishna. Put that thing on and don't get the ones with ribs. If you want ribs, go get barbecue. Don't put it on there. And don't get those French ticklers. You know, the things, all the little things, the spikes. It's not a penis. It makes it look like a tiny sea anemone. Bring Jacques Cousteau into the bed. We are looking for the tiny Venus. No, get it off here. Put that thing off, baby. Just put some protection on. Because, ladies, the best birth control in the whole world is simply... Just laugh at his ass. Can't take it. They can't take that shit. Men cannot take laughter at the mighty sword. You know that. That's why it's down here, and that's why you're up here going, I love you. Don't look down there. Mm-mm. You're not meant to see what the goodies are doing. When they show a porno movie, when they're going for the close-up, it's like, beauty, beauty. It's not a pretty picture. It's like an industrial film covered in fur. Uh-uh. It's not meant to be seen. That's why your eyes are up here. You're up here doing all this love stuff because that's what it's about. You're lucky as human beings you get to make eye contact because other animals don't. If you're an amoeba, you'd split in two and go, was it good for me? Who knows? So, nature has ways of making love in very, very, very wonderful ways. Because the whole reason why you're doing this whole horizontal mambo, the whole dance of love, is so you can get one tiny sperm in there. Bang. A little standing ovulation. You know what I'm saying? Bing. One gets in. It's incredible, too, because you're lucky you get any good sperm at all. Because when you're making love, your testicles like a damn punching bag. Like, pitty, 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 pitty. It's amazing they don't come out like, your sperm don't come out of there like Leon Sphinx going, I could have thought better, Howard. I was there, my tail went numb, I didn't swim as good as I could. No, baby, one gets through, whammo! It's like a chromosome square dance, 24 chromosomes coming down. 24 chromosomes spinning round. Dominant gene means hair is brown. Bow to your father, bow to your mother. And you've just created a tiny creature that'll eventually quit college on you too. You're off and running the wonders of life. And women know the moment they get pregnant, because it's like a ping, and they start to glow. And you expect to see three wise men show up at your door and go, you saw a star, dude? They've got this incredible feeling about them. And the natural process takes a slow, slow transition. And 3 months later, the wonderful thing happens. The titty fairy arrives. And in one night, she goes from zero to Aida. Yeah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let me lay hands upon the wonderment. And she'll be going, no, therefore the baby. And then something else happens. 6 months later, something amazing happens. The hormone fairy arrives. And her moods start to change. Bullshit, it makes her period look like nothing. She's gone berserk. She'll be going, I can't, I'm sorry. She makes Sybil look well adjusted. She'll be waiting for you in the doorway like, where the fuck were you? And the only thing that'll save your ass is dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Haagen-Dazs. The Wonder Dog, Haagen-Dazs. And you'll prepare for that moment, which you think is every day. From 6 months to 9 months, every day you'll be going, are you okay? She'll be going, I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm fine. And you'll know,
on that ninth day of the ninth month, it'll be time. Because you'll come home and she'll have the entire house packed in two small bags. And she'll have that look in her eyes like, let's go. And if you don't move, she'll grab your scrotum and pull it up over your head. And I think you will move right then. Because all of a sudden, your sweet little bride is transforming into Ralph fucking Cramden. Get it out! Get it out, Norton! Whoa! She's changing! She's passing a tiny creature. It's not a tiny creature. It's a creature 50 times larger than the orifice it's coming out. It's whoopee time! Get go! And you're driving down the freeway. Yes, she's like De Niro in Mean Street screaming out the window. Ah! You think, I've got to get her to the hospital, but I've also got to get this screaming bitch out of the car. Dear God, help me! Ah! Then she'll be very calm. I'm fine. No, I'm not! Move it! You get to the hospital. You think, okay, let's go. Let's go in the hospital. Let's go in the hospital. You're carrying the bags. There's usually one attendant going, you must fill out some forms. Fuck you, Sabu, get out of the way. No, come on, let's go. She's on a gurney. She looks like a great white whale. Whoa. Have you seen the great white mother? That way. You're rolling down the aisle. Whoa. Attendants are going by going, you better do it real quick now. Yeah, you're screaming to get her in there to the operating room, which is a very subtle, sweet place. Bullshit, it's Earl Shive's living room. Bright, bright lights. She's screaming like crazy. You're going like this. Let's breathe, honey. Let's breathe. Because you have this myth that you're sharing the birth experience.
I don't think so.
Nope. No, unless you're passing a bowling ball, I don't think so. Unless you're going to circumcise yourself with a chainsaw, I don't think so. Unless you're opening an umbrella up your ass, I don't think so. You're not doing diddly squat. You're along for the ride. And you're there breathing. You're hyperventilating. She's looking at you like, what the fuck are you doing? Why don't you knock me out, you asshole? And usually there's an anesthesiologist in the corner going, you need anything, man? She sees him. She wheels her ass over there. Give me that, you dumb stone prick. Oh, get it out. Oh, it's a baby, it hurts. Ah. Oh, and after 10, 15 hours of sheer bliss, you're rewarded with a baby. But bullshit, it's not a baby. It's a little old man dipped in 40 weight. Don't you see? It's like Gandhi and Churchill had a child. You know what I'm saying? A little tiny thing there. It's a little tiny creature like, yeah, I'm looking for the breast. I'm looking for the breast. It's a strange creature. And they handed me my son. They held him up and he went, my God, he's hung like a bear.
That's the umbilical cord, Mr. Williams.
Don't cut that. Let him dream for a while. Yes, it's incredible. And they handed me my son. It was the first moment we made the contact. Father, son, son, father. And he looked me right in the eye, and he pissed all over me. And I went, I'm a parent now. And then they put him on my wife's chest, and it was incredible. Mother and child. He got that look in his eyes like, there's a tit around here.
Yeah.
He started to become a tiny teamster, like, hey, where's the tit? Hey.
Oh, God. And you have a baby now. A wonderful baby.
Take the baby home. Put him in a crib. A crib, what a wonderful thing. It's a little tiny baby jail.
You expect to see the baby there at night going,
nobody knows nobody. Nobody knows nobody.
Hey, Warden, I need a tit. Hey, Warden! Banging on the wall over here. What is this, a teddy bear? Hey, you're nothing. You're with me now, smartass. Hey. Babies, and they make this wonderful noise. In the first 6 months, they make this noise. Scary noise. You expect to walk in the nursery, see the kid 6 feet over the floor going, come in, father.
Damien, put the dog down, Damien. And then comes a very special time. Your first test as a father, a diaper. You're ready.
You may be a lumberjack, you may have been a Marine, you may have seen blood and guts, but you've never seen caca like this. It's incredible stuff. It's part toxic waste, part Velcro. First time you peel back that diaper, it's like, honey, I've got it. This shit is green. This is incredible. What do you feed him, algae? My God, damn. Oh, no. He sucks on mother's milk. What's it do, go to Cleveland before it gets to his asshole? What is this? And you're sitting there trying to wipe it off. You can't. You've got a little tiny moist towelette. No good that is. It's like handing radioactive waste with an oven mitt. No good. You're there doing all this. It's all over you. Meanwhile, your dog's over here in the corner going, Jesus, man, why don't you just put his face in it? Just do that. You wouldn't need all that stuff. It's foul, foul stuff. It's so bad that 5 months later, people go, you have a kid, don't you? Yes, I do. And now that you have a child, you have to clean up your act because you can't drink anymore. You can't come home drunk and go, hey, here's a little switch. Daddy's going to throw up on you. You don't need drugs when you have a kid. You're awake, you're paranoid, you smell bad. It's the same thing. You're like, the baby. And they do incredible things. Babies drive you mad. You're just about to play hand baby and they look at you and go, Daddy. Oh. Then he looks at the dog and goes, Daddy. And the dog looks at you and goes, I'll have to send him to college. Yeah, over here. And they do horrible, horrible things. I've seen him over there sometimes with a cat in midair going, meow. And the cat gets down and looks at him like, God, I know you're a kid, but I'm going to fuck you up. I really am. They have those things. They get away with awful, awful things. I could see them rehearsing emotions. I've snuck around the corner. I see the kid looking in the mirror going, ah. No, 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 no. No. Ah! No, 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 no. Ah! Yes! That's the one. And they're horrible sand creatures. Don't you see? They know everything you do. My son is 3 years old. He's a big head, little tiny body. It's like daycare center of the dam. Everything you do, they imitate. I was in traffic. I cut someone off. They cut me off. I went, fuck it. From behind me in a little rocket seat, I heard a voice go, fuck it. All day long, he followed me around the house going, fuck it. Fuck it. Sweet little lady walked up and said, oh, what a sweet child. Fuck you. Oh, it's the Williams boy. Come on. And you'll never have sex again once you have a child because you have this horrible fear. You'll be in a passionate love embrace. The door will open. A little face will peek in and go, you're killing mom. Oh, no, no, no. And they'll want to know everything. My son is 3. He wants to know everything in the goddamn world. He looks up.
Why is the sky blue?
Well, because of the atmosphere.
Why is there atmosphere?
Well, because we have to breathe.
Why do we have to breathe?
Who are you, Carl Sagan? A year ago, you were sitting in your own shit. Now you want to know everything? You were eating boogers 5 months ago. Now you want to know the nature of the universe, baby Buddha? Who are you? Yes, mommy, she's omnipotent. She knows everything. And you try and do special things for them. I thought, I'll take him to Disneyland. That'll be fun. Disneyland for a 3-year-old. Yes, Mickey Mouse for a 3-year-old. Bullshit. Mickey Mouse to a 3-year-old is a 6-foot fucking rat. Mickey Mouse walks up. Hiya, little buddy. And there's Goofy. Oh, 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 oh.
It's Dad having an orgasm.
Come on now. No. Come on now. It's over. Oh, God, and you. You have your children, you left them at home, didn't you? Either that or they're in the trunk, right? You left them at home with a little old lady you hope doesn't have a prison record. Yeah. And as you walk away, you're feeling, I'm nothing. Oh, God. But you know, as soon as that door slams, the kid turns to the sitter and goes, old lady, they're out of here. Let's party. Let's peel off these pampers and get crazy. You like Fisher Price music? You see? Don't you see? Children, you can't live with them. You can't live with them. They've got you. And I can't spank him. If he does something wrong, I go to spank him. He's like,
you hit me, I'll write a book.
Okay.
Mommy talked to you, didn't she?
Yeah. And I know where the trust fund is.
Come on, come over here. Oh, God, I got it.
And there are times he looks at you like,
Daddy, I love you.
And don't you see? They're going to do everything for him. Work with him, raise him, nourish him, spend time with him. And 16 years from now, he's going to do to me what I did to my father. He's going to walk right up to me, look me right in the eye and go,
God, Dad, you're fucked.
And my father will be standing right behind him going, yes!
Yes! Revenge is mine! The curse has been broken! Your mother and I are young again!
No, Papa! Next thing you know, you're talking to your kid like,
you know, your mother and I were so poor, we had to smoke weeds. We were that poor. We didn't have MTV in the old days, son. We used to get stoned and watch the radio, yeah.
And you have dreams about your kid. You have dreams that maybe one day your kid will be up there going, I'd like to thank the Nobel Academy. Then you have this other dream where your kid's going, do you want fries with this? But you don't know. It could have been bad sperm. It could have been the air. Place your bets. Because you got to work with your kid and worry about him. You got to wonder who's going to be the next president. You don't know. If you graph the way it's going, it goes from Jimmy Carter, pretty benign.
Nah, Valium poster child, let's not lie. Next one, Ronald Reagan, howdy doody senior. Okay, everybody.
Move from there. If it keeps going benign, the next president's Mr. Rogers. Ah, can you say Armageddon? Too late.
Or maybe if we get real, real macho, you go with Clint Eastwood. He'll be the next president. And the only man who could run against him will be Jack Nicholson.
It'll be the shortest debate. The shortest debate in the history of politics. All Nicholson has to say is, how can you debate me? You haven't opened your goddamn eyes in 20 years. You don't know. You don't goddamn know. You don't know which way the world's gonna go. Maybe Ron wakes up one morning and goes, I thought it was the alarm clock.
Or maybe the world's gonna be a better place, like the Epcot Center. It's like, in the future, we'll travel at the speed of light. They'll have to lose our luggage beforehand.
You don't know. You don't goddamn know, do you? Because my son looks at me sometimes, comes up, gives me that look like,
well, what's it gonna be?
All right, Zach, it's gonna be fabulous. No. I don't know, pal. It's a crapshoot. I don't know. Hey, maybe we can have some fun before we go. How do you get to the Met?
Money. Lots and lots of money.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Let's go home. Mom will be there. Let's go. You're not afraid, are you?
Nah. Fuck it.
God bless you, New York. Good night.